Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another great episode we have here of Suspense Radio One-on-One. I am your host, John Robb, and today we are going to be speaking with author Tracy Webb and her first book and her newest Downward Dog mystery series. It's going to be called Murder Strikes the Pose. It's out now, and we are very excited. We're going to be chatting with her. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, because 30 minutes of Suspense Radio One-on-One begins right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
So again, everybody, we want to welcome you back here to Suspense Radio One-on-One. Of course, we are in partnered now with Partners in Crime Tour.net, and this is why we are able to speak with author Tracy Webb. She is on tour with them right now, and we are her tour stop. So, Tracy, we want to thank you so much for coming on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So, again, we want to get involved here because your first book, Murder Strikes the Pose, is out. It's the beginning of your Downward Dog mystery series. And so I want you to tell everybody now a little bit about what the book is about along with the series. You got the next book coming out very fast in January 2015 called A Killer Retreat. So you got a lot of things working on right now.
I absolutely do. And I just want to make one small correction, John. My last name is actually Weber, W-E-B-E-R, not Webb.
What did I say? Oh, my God. Did I say Webb?
You just shortened it. You know, it's a little shorthand. It's all good.
So Tracy Webber, I do apologize. I don't know why I said that. My brain sometimes works in the ways of different than other people's brains. That's all. That's the only thing I got.
It's perfectly okay. I never remember people's names, and I often am afraid I'm going to try to introduce my husband to someone and not remember his name. So there you go.
Exactly. Right.
But Murder Strikes the Pose is the first in a mystery series that I'm calling the Downward Dog Mysteries. And they combine my three passions in life, which are yoga, dogs, and cozy mystery series. And the series is, the protagonist is a yoga teacher who, she's working really hard to try to live the principles of yoga that it espouses, but she's sort of failing. So she's got the temperament of a fighting rooster, and she's trying to sort of learn how to live more calmly and to do good in the world. And like most of us, she's very flawed, and so she struggles as she goes along. And in the first book, she befriends a homeless man who has a German Shepherd who is, let's just say, not very friendly and who also has some health issues. And when her friend gets murdered, she sort of finds herself stuck in the middle of trying to find a new home for his dog. And while she's doing that, she starts stumbling across clues that make her believe that his murder isn't what the police thought it was. And so she sort of gets pulled kicking and screaming into both learning how to love this very imperfect dog and into figuring out who killed her friend. And then from there on out, you know, murder just seems to follow her wherever she goes. So it's a lot of fun. It's It's meant to be. It's a very lighthearted mystery series. Cozy series are what I call the PG of the mystery realm, meaning that blood and guts is offstage, sex is behind closed doors, and we have just a lot of fun. So we deal with serious topics, but it's definitely a fun ride.
Yeah, and I think that that's the one thing about cozy that you can definitely take away without even seeing anything about the book. The one thing when you look at the cover, you can say, oh, good. This is going to be lighthearted. Even though the word murder's on the cover, it's going to be nice. It's going to be lighthearted. It's going to be, you know, a whodunit. You're going to be able to not have to worry about sleeping at night. Those things aren't going to have to worry. You're just going to be able to sit back and relax. And those are the one good thing that I like to do is, of course, whenever you read mysteries, and I don't need blood, gore, whatever to make the story entertaining. I don't need to have all of that stuff. I just need interesting characters with a great plot, a story that moves forward, and something that kind of gets me thinking at the end, wow, you know, I didn't see that coming, and those types of aspects.
Yeah, you know, and I, first of all, thanks for mentioning the cover. I love the cover art for my series. We hired the artist to do my website, and then my publisher ended up hiring her to do the books as well. What I really wanted was the bright, vibrant colors and sort of the energy between the dog and the main character, because they're very much in love. Kate doesn't know that at the beginning of the first book, but this dog is going to change your life in every way for the better. And so I wanted that playful energy, that lightheartedness to sort of come through in the cover, and I've been really, really pleased with how that turned out. And, you know, the beauty of cozies, my understanding of how they came up with the word is it's like you could you can read it, read a chapter, cozy in bed with your cup of tea, and then you can go to sleep and not have to worry about staying up from nightmares.
Right.
But I do want to say that the book does have some serious themes in it as well. So my hope is to also sort of, while I'm entertaining and while people are having a good laugh at Kate's antics, for them to also realize that, you know, there are real issues in the world around homelessness and around animal rescue, and to sort of educate that way as well.
Now, I always like to ask, of course, with debut authors into their first book, why was this the topic or the plot that you decided to go with as your lead book in a new series, bringing yourself out this way?
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many things that sort of all came together to make me write first this series and then next this first book in the series. And what I'll have to say is that I didn't really make a conscious decision to either write this book or write this series. It chose me. You know, a bunch of things came sort of to the forefront. I've loved cozy mysteries my whole life. I have a particular author who has just entertained me for every single book of the 30-some-odd books she's written, named Susan Conant. And she writes dog-related mysteries. And so I've always been in love with this genre. I've always been in love with dogs. And just this idea started rattling around in my head about, you know, I'm a yoga teacher, and I own a yoga studio. And what would happen if a yoga teacher got mixed up in murder, and how would that maybe play out? And so that thought had been going on in my head sort of on one track. I never wanted to be a writer. So when all this happened, I had never intended to write a book. But I had this sort of idea in my head about, what if a yoga teacher got mixed up in murder? What would happen? And then the other thing that happened was, several years ago, I befriended a homeless woman who sold a paper that's similar. It's not the same paper, but it's similar in many ways to the Dollars for Change newspaper in my book. And she had a dog that was aggressive and that would go after other dogs on the sidewalk. And for her to make her living, what the grocery store did was they gave this woman a crate to keep her dog in so that the dog could still be with her, because she didn't have a place to keep it. She's homeless. The dog could still be with her, but she could still sell these newspapers to make her living. And I got to thinking about, I have a dog with a very expensive medical condition, and I adore my dog, and this woman, that dog was her life. I got to thinking, you know, what would happen if her dog, along with its behavior issues, had a serious expensive medical condition? She wouldn't be able to treat it. And I thought, you know, what would she do in that situation? And what could she do? And that's where these ideas of this character, George, the homeless gentleman, and his German Shepherd, a different breed than this woman's dog, with his German Shepherd named Bella, came into my head. And this idea of really love, true love for another creature, and knowing that it's going to die if you don't help it, and what depths would you go to? And so that story started rattling around in my head. I had the idea of a mystery series in my head. And one day I sat down and started writing. And that's where Murder Strikes Opposed was birthed.
So cozy books, maybe Agatha Christie, whodunits, those are the types of books that you kind of gravitated to when you were reading, or was it something totally different?
You know, I've gravitated toward all kinds of mystery-related books, courtroom dramas, suspense, medical mystery, and cozies. And I've read all those genres for a long time. I didn't even know a genre existed called cozy until I started researching that author named Susan Conant. And I was like, oh, wow, I know those kind of books. I've been reading those too.
Yeah.
So I've always been an avid reader, and I've always really been sort of sucked into the mystery suspense side. And then cozy was just, you know, I don't really want to think about gore and horror enough to actually write it, because I really immerse myself when I'm writing. I really sort of almost become my characters. And so I'm very emotionally impacted by what happens to them. And so, you know, I just think about what is it that I really want to spend my energy doing, and it's really more lighthearted. So I'd rather be sort of happy and entertained by my characters than sort of shocked and horrified. And so that's sort of why I've gone to that genre. However, I'm not at all, I've got another series idea in my head, and I'm not at all averse to the idea of maybe I'll branch out into some sort of darker stuff eventually.
Oh, really? So this is something, do you have an idea then of maybe how long you think the series could go? Is it just something that's just going to be ongoing? You have no idea how this is going to end up taking you into the future?
Yes and yes. Ultimately, what decides how long a series goes, well, there's a couple things. Number one is how long can the protagonist's major arc, what's happening in the protagonist's life, how long can it carry a series? And then the second piece is, do people care about it? Do people want to read it? Do people want to continue to grow and immerse themselves in this character? And so, you know, what I would say is that in my major arc for Kate, and Kate is the protagonist of my series, for my major arc, I've already planned out through book 5. And so she has to get through book 5 for me to be satisfied that she has sort of reached the fulfillment of growth that I want for her. But every time I write a new book, another piece to Kate comes out to me, so that arc keeps going. But I can't even imagine that I wouldn't go through book 5. And then I suspect I'd love to stay with her longer, so I'd love to stay longer than that. I have another couple of series in my head. One is a series that would take place on Orcas Island that would be a spinoff from my second book. And then a third series that would take place in a little town called Paia in Maui that I spent a lot of time in. And so those are sort of tugging at me the same way Murder Strikes Opposed tugged at me the very first time I wrote it. I am beginning to think of myself, which just shocks the heck out of me as a writer, which, you know, and again, it sounds odd, but 3 years ago, if you'd asked me, I'd said I'd never write a book. And now I just feel really tugged that this is the direction that my energy is going. I hope to have, most writers have more than one series going on at a time. I hope to have Kate with me, you know, till I'm 97 and she's on her 100th murder mystery. and then I hope to have a few other things going on, too.
We'll have to call her the angel of death if that's the case, if she gets on the 100, because people are going to be scared of that person. They're like, oh, my God, Kate's around me. Run, somebody's going to die. Kind of like the same thing about, like, Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. The big joke was on the set, they used to call her the angel of death, because after
no,
poor Lady Windsor, there was just somebody dying.
It's true. It's true. And my yoga students are starting to look at me funny, and I'm like, seriously, no yoga students have been harmed in the making of this series.
Yet.
And... yes, exactly. So, you know, they're always a little bit nicer to me now.
You know, you got to make them a little bit scared. I mean, that's, you know, a little bit of suspense. No one's been harmed yet. But
that's right.
You keep making me mad, and you never know who's going in my book.
I have sort of a warped sense of humor anyway, so when I was researching poisons for my second book, I started hiding them in the kitchen where my husband could find them so that he would have to be on good behavior, too.
Oh, nice. Well, I want to remind everybody here that we are speaking with author Tracy Weber. And the name of the website is TracyWeberAuthor.com. For more information, you can find out here about the book Murder Strikes Opposed, and then the second one coming up, A Killer Retreat, coming in January 2015. So who is Kate? I guess the biggest thing is, why was she the one that you decided to put out in front of the series? And who is she just as a person? who are people going to know and take away from after the first book of who Kate Davidson is?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to start with the hardest question to answer first. Who Kate is, I can answer pretty easily. The why Kate makes me sound a little bit crazy. And all I can
Good.
Say is that Kate chose me. She came, she showed up in my head, she started rattling around, and she said, I insist that you write my story. And I that sounds absolutely nuts, but I can't describe it any other way than that. She just started talking to me and telling me that this was her story. Kate's 32, so she's, you know, on the younger side. Well, if you're my age, Kate's on the younger side. She's 32. Uh-huh. She lives in Seattle. She owns a very struggling yoga studio that she had opened 2 years ago named Serenity Yoga. And Kate is an interesting person because she's really a kind person with a temper problem. And she also has, what she tells her friends, she's not commitment phobic, but she has what's called relationship ADD, meaning that she has a really hard time, other than to her friends, really committing to caring for anyone. And we'll discover as the sequence or as the series goes on why that is. But she's got this temper issue. She was raised by a Seattle cop. And so that's how she knows a little bit, very little actually, but a little bit about law enforcement, and she has still some connections to the Seattle Police Department. And she was raised by a single father. So she's the only child of a single father who was a Seattle cop. She was raised in the Ballard neighborhood of Seattle, and she, when her father died, she inherited a small chunk of money and his home, and she invested that money in the yoga studio, which she's rapidly going through it because yoga studios don't make a lot of money, but she didn't know that when she got into it. And so she's sort of struggling financially. She's still struggling emotionally with how to deal with the death of her father, and she feels a little bit guilty over some things that happened right before he died. And then she's plunged into this issue where this homeless person starts hawking newspapers outside her store, which wouldn't be a problem if his dog weren't chasing off all of her yoga students. And so she runs into this problem of this man and his dog, and because she is who she is, she ends up, rather than chasing them off, sort of befriending them. And so Kate's arc, Kate, who Kate is in this first book, is learning, number one, how to forgive herself, and number two, how to love and how to commit to something knowing that it may die before she does. And she's a lot of fun. She's very, people will describe her as self-deprecating. So she's an average body type. She doesn't look a whole lot different than me, but when she looks, she says when she looks in the mirror, she sees the before image of a Jenny Craig commercial. So she thinks she's a little chunky. She can't do all the yoga poses. She's a real sweetheart who tends to get mad, and then she's really embarrassed after she throws a temper tantrum. She's really embarrassed. She's got a crush on the pet store guy, but she also Kate's a little on the neurotic side. She has a whole bunch of neuroses, but one of them, which I didn't even know existed until Kate told me she had it, I went and looked up on the internet. I said, there's got to be a word for this. But Kate has what's called pagodaphobia. And pagonophobia means she's afraid of beards. And so someone has beards, facial hair on men.
Huh.
And so anytime, who knew that even existed, right?
I had you know what, there's got to be a fear of everything out there. So
there
I'm
is
not really
totally
surprised
a fear of totally yeah. a fear of everything. And so Kate has this crush on the pet store guy, but darned if he doesn't have a beard. So, so she's just this quirky, fun, flawed, sort of person trying to do right in the world and often stumbling and failing.
So who did it? I'm just joking.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. You have to read the book for that.
I said that one time to an author, and they actually spit out the first syllable and said, wait a second, I'm not going to tell you that. And I'm like, I'm going to see if you're awake. You know, just trying to see if you're awake. But I don't think that's where the head was. But now people will notice if they go right now. But you have to go right now because we don't know how long this is going to stay this way. Amazon has it on sale for $1.99. That's about $7 off the Kindle version of what it normally is. It's $1.99 that Amazon did. And like I said, and you mentioned that off the air. We're not sure how long that's going to go on for. It could be the weekend. It could be ending today. It could be ending tomorrow. But the fact is that it's $1.99. I mean, and people can get there's no reason not to get it. So I wanted to make sure that was out there so people knew about that. And that's something that just kind of – and that's great for you to have that news. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, $1.99? How the hell did that happen?
this has been such an exciting weekend because Friday, you know, I'm like most authors, we shouldn't, but we go look on our Amazon stuff every day. And I popped up my Amazon page on Friday and I went, $1.99, that's not right. And then I looked at my email and my publisher emailed me to say that Amazon had selected it as a daily deal. And that was Friday, and we both thought that the daily deal would be over on Friday. And today it's still going. So I have Amazon doesn't tell you when they're going to do it, and they don't tell you when they're going to stop. So I'm just excited, as pleased as punch, because it means a lot of people who might not be able to afford the book, now it's very reasonable. And so hopefully that will get some more people out there to take a look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fantastic move. I love Amazon, love what they do. I mean, so something like this, without even asking or doing whatever, they just put the book on sale for $1.99. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, I mean, you want to say kind of like the publishing lottery. They just kind of like, face you, put your book for $1.99, you're like, yeah, do it up, because they're still paying you
royalties
on the main amount.
I totally feel like I won the lottery. Such a fun weekend.
Yeah. So let's look forward now into the series and maybe into the next book, because since it is done, it is coming out in January 2015, not really doing any promotion for it, but what are fans, you know, going to see? What's the kinds of thing that you're moving forward now into the series with the second book? Of course, besides the crime, you know, the characters are going to be moving forward. What kind of have you done to push that story forward?
Yeah, so, you know, my books are ultimately, if I had, and I actually didn't realize this until my agent pointed it out to me, because my agent doesn't like dogs. And so I was really surprised when she told me that she had signed on a mystery writer that writes about dogs and yoga. And she doesn't do yoga and she doesn't like dogs. And her answer to me was, Tracy, your books are about love. And she said, everybody can understand love. And I didn't realize it until then, but that's really what sort of the underpinning about Kate's growth is learning to love, and how you can have a love for an animal, how you can have love for friends, how you can have love for family. Mm-hmm. And so Kate's arc is still around sort of growing that love. And so next it's going to be growing her romantic relationship. She and her best friend, by the way, I haven't mentioned her best friend, Renee, yet, but her best friend, Renee, is everybody's favorite character besides the dog. Renee is this gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous, can eat anything she wants to, practical joker. And she just drives Kate insane because she keeps getting involved in her love life and she keeps getting involved in getting Kate in trouble. And she's just this fun, fun character. And so Renee is going to be going through some struggles in the second book. And what happens in the second book is Kate is invited to go to an Orcas Island retreat center called Elysian Springs. And she's invited to go there to teach yoga for a wedding party. And then while she's there, she and her dog tangle with a wedding guest and their dog. And Kate threatens to kill her, to strangle her. And darn it if that wedding guest doesn't end up strangled. And so Kate gets accused of the crime, and so she ends up having to defend herself against this crime. And of course, Kate didn't mean it. Kate was on her way to apologize when she finds the body. But the sort of character arc is the retreat center, Orcas Island, Washington, is just this gorgeous, gorgeous island. And so it's a vegan retreat center, and you'll get to know Kate, and you'll get to know her boyfriend a little bit better, and she'll be struggling with. She thinks he's about to pop the M word, and she's not real comfortable with that yet, and so she's struggling with that idea. And her friend has a secret that she hasn't told Kate or anyone else yet. That's really sort of dragging her friend down in a big way. And so her friend Renee will have to reveal that secret to her, and they'll have to figure out how to deal with that. And Bella will be there, and they're just going to have a great time. There's even goats. I even have a goat lawyer. And if you want to know what a goat lawyer is, you have to read the book to find out. But I have a goat lawyer in that book. His name is Dale.
A goat lawyer.
Goat
I think
lawyer.
I've never heard that one before.
Yep, his name's Dale Evans, and he's the goat lawyer.
And he's the goat lawyer. So he is taking the role of making sure that goats have all the rights and privileges as other goats on the farm. I don't know. I'm not just making that up. But it sounded good, didn't it?
If you want to know what the goat lawyer is, you have to read the second book. He's a lot of fun. He's the newest,
you know,
favorite character.
I do that with people too, and they always say, and I'm like, hey, this is Spence Magazine. You want to know? You got to find out. You got to read it yourself. So I guess it's only right for someone to kind of say that back to me. I mean, you know, I say that to a lot of other people. But we got about 60 to 90 seconds left before we're done here. So what I want to do is I want to give you kind of the floor to kind of tell everybody, you know, anything that else that, you know, that we haven't been able to touch on, or anything that's going on, maybe where you're at, where people can contact you, email you about the book, or anything else that you want people to know. Go ahead. You got it.
Thank you. So my website is where you can find everything on how to contact me. Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, Weber, W-E-B-E-R, author.com. And I love connecting with friends. I'm all over Facebook. You can figure out how to get me there. I'm on Twitter. My email is tracy@wholelifeyoga.com, which is my email address. But all of that information is right there on my website. There is nothing that makes my day better than hearing that somebody read and liked my book. And even if people read and have feedback that's not so positive, I learn from that because I'm a writer and I'm learning. And I truly hope that people who are on limited budgets take advantage of the cheap Kindle deal today. I don't have the ability to set my own prices, so the fact that it's this cheap right now is just so exciting for me. And I just hope they read the book, and it's a lot of fun. My tagline is Yoga, Dogs, and Murder. What could be more fun?
Exactly. Well, Tracy, we want to thank you so much for coming on. I hope you're enjoying your tour on Partners in Crime Tour. I think we're kind of in the middle of it right about now, but you get a lot of stuff. I know partnersincrimetours.net. You can click on the book, and you can see everything that Tracy is doing, what she has done, to see any of the other kind of blogs or reviews or anything that other people are doing to follow. That's another great place to also see what you're doing. So hopefully you're enjoying yourself. Can't wait to see the next one. We want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm having a great time.
All right, Tracy. Enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So again, everybody, that is author Tracy Weber, tracyweberauthor.com. The book, Murder Strikes a Pose. Great cozy read. Great mystery read. Pick up the next one coming out in January 2015, A Killer Retreat. But again, if you're listening live to the show or you're listening in demand later today, you better go out to Amazon fast. The book is $1.99. That's cheaper than Starbucks, and it's a lot more fulfilling than Starbucks is the book at $1.99. So make sure you go out there and pick up a great read. Sit down tonight, 290 pages. Entertain yourself. Get off the TV and read a damn book, people. That's what I say. So we want to thank everybody again for listening however, wherever, whenever you listen to the show. This is Suspense Radio One-on-One. Our next show, we only have a couple more shows left here in August. I'm going to be out of town doing some things. And my wife and I, we are going to the New Orleans convention with Heather Graham at the end of the month, which is Labor Day, another great thing. So you just got to check the schedule and what's going on. Always check everything on demand. You can listen to all the shows. Crime and Science Radio yesterday came on with Alafair Burke. Make sure you check out that from Doug Lyle and Jan Burke. And so, everybody, we will see you all coming up very, very soon, some station, somewhere, somehow. Goodbye.